Us over to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. We're looking to close out Acts 17 today, our little three-part mini-series inside of our series here on the forward progress of the church. We've got Paul on trial here, and last week we looked at the case for the defense, and now it is going to the jury. And what we're going to find is a hung jury here today. Whole idea of the hung jury is you've got at least one out of the 12 or so who just can't seem to make up their mind. Or they've made up their mind, but it is to the opposite of the rest. They just can't break the impasse here. So we want to look here at Acts 17, verse 32, 33, and 34. The Bible says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among them which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." So as we said, we want to bring our sermon here this morning on this little thought of a hung jury. Hung jury. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, one more time for loving us and saving us. Do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And we ask you, Father, please, to help us to present the word here the way that you'd have for us too, that it would be a help to each and every one who is tuning in today. Help us, Father, please, to see exactly what it is that you'd have for us to do and to follow your holy will. We thank you, Father, for loving us and saving us. And we thank you, God, for just being so awesome, despite the fact that we do not deserve it in any way, shape, or form. Yet you still love us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, that's it for now. We'll talk to you in a little bit, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. So as we said, Paul has been placed on trial for preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. And the local philosophers, they're basically divided up into two camps, the Epicureans and the Stoics. And they've decided that, Paul, what you're saying here, this new philosophy of yours, we need to better understand it. We need to make sure that things are lining up. And so, come on, we're going to put you here. We're going to take you to Mars Hill. We're going to put you on trial. And we're going to hear what you got to say. If we don't like what you've got to say, we're going to find you guilty. If we like what you got to say, we're going to find you innocent. As we just read there in verses 32 and 34, it didn't go that way. It was something of a split jury. It's a hung jury here. They couldn't come to a unanimous decision on what Paul said. Because when Paul got there, he explained to them exactly who the unknown God is. He explained to them who Jehovah is, his son Jesus, and what Jesus has done for us, so as that one day we could go to heaven as well. They didn't like this. Some of them did. And it just didn't work out the way they thought it should. And church, let's be honest here. When we actually go out to try to witness the people, it's not going to work out the way that we think it should all the time. Why is that? Well, because people are people. can't get much simpler than that. We just don't like to do things God's way. But some people will actually respond. The issue is, are we actually going out there and trying to witness. You see, in the process of us trying to witness to somebody, be on the street, in the church, in at the gas station, in the grocery store, knocking on their door, whatever the case would be, we are putting ourselves on trial as well. And we are having to present our defense. We went over this last week there as Paul explained to them God and the gospel. And what we're trying to get across to them, what God has done for us, what he can do for them, is our defense. Not everybody's going to agree. But not everybody's going to disagree. So we need to be prepared for this outcome, that it can go one way or t'other. So I want you to, let's real quickly, we should review here the case before us, back in verse number 18. And the Bible tells us, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, that's Paul, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. The charge is leveled against Paul that he's proclaiming this strange God who they in all of their wisdom knew nothing about. What are you talking about here, Paul? Well, we know all the gods here. We've got over 30,000 altars here. Well, we pretty much got everything covered. We've got an altar to the unknown God here. But that's just in case we miss one. But what you're saying here blows our minds. So they called him a babbler. A babbler being one who takes it and cherry picks like he's at a smorgasbord, an all-you-can-eat buffet. And he picks what he likes from here and he picks what he likes from here. And he puts it all together to make up his own plate. They didn't like that. They kind of felt threatened by it. This Jesus guy. You're threatening our religious beliefs here, Paul. We don't care for this. And when you don't bring God to somebody in their pre-packaged form, they're not going to be overly thrilled with you. Even the atheist has a prepackaged form of God. It's that I am God. There is no capital G God out there somewhere looking down on me, going to condemn my soul to eternity in hell if I don't come right and fly straight and all this other nonsense. That's their packaged form of God. They don't believe in him. Some people, hey, they've been raised Baptist their whole lives. They've got their prepackaged form of God. And guess what? It still may not even line up with the Bible. With the God of the Bible. Raised Catholic, raised Episcopalian, Pentecostal, what? Muslim, Jewish, it don't matter. People have their preconceived notions. And it's up to you and I to properly witness to them, to lay out the case for them, to put the case in the hands of the jury. The one we're witnessing to is the jury. Will they find for what we've got to say, or will they find against it? It's up to them. Paul proceeded on the same grounds that God had told the prophet Ezekiel to proceed. You go out there and you warn the people. If they hear you and follow what you're saying, great, you've delivered yourself. If they don't hear you and they ignore you and they get in trouble and they get captured, they get killed, whatever, too bad, so sad for them, you did your job. It's all on them. But if you do not warn them, if you do not get the word out there, if you do not try to tell them about what's going to happen and they get captured, they get killed, it's all on you. Paul says, I'm putting it on the people. We are supposed to put it on the people. Let the people decide for themselves. They want to listen to God, they listen to God. They don't want to listen to God, they don't listen to God. But our hands will be clean of their blood. So we have to present the case. We have to put it before the jury. I heard a story many years ago about this very famous lawyer. I mean, he was supposed to be the bee's knees. He was great. He's defending his client in the prosecution. It brings out witness after witness, pieces of evidence after pieces of evidence, lays it all out before the jury. And when the prosecutor gets done and it's now time for this big shot lawyer to defend his client, he gets up there and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm not even going to bring out a single witness. I believe it is completely evident that the prosecution has failed to present their case, that everything points to the innocence of my client, and I'm going to trust your perfect judgment." The defense rests. The defense had its mind blown within a few minutes after the jury was excused to deliberate. They came back and said, "You know what, Your Honor, he's guilty." And when this big shot defense lawyer finally picked his jaw up off the floor and he asked the jury, "Why did you find my client guilty?" And the jury looked at him and says, "We didn't have a clue what you were talking about. All we saw was the prosecution's case. All this world sees, if we keep quiet about God, is the case for there is no God, is the case for our religion is false, is the case for our religion is dead, is the case that our faith means nothing. If we don't go out there and witness to them, if we don't bring them the evidence." And Paul says, "I'm going to bring the evidence. I'm going to lay it out here for the jury." And the case that he brought before them resulted in closed minds. Notice with me here, verse number 32, the very first part of the verse. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." What? Nobody comes back to life, Paul. Are you nuts? You're dead? You're dead. Heard about a fellow who said that Lazarus was a zombie when Jesus resurrected him back to life. No, Bible's very clear. You just keep on reading there in John, and you find that this zombie was eating and talking and fellowshipping with everybody else around him. That don't sound like no zombies from the movies and TV and whatnot. He was alive. He'd been brought back to life. Jesus came back to life, and where Lazarus ended up having to die yet again, where everyone that Elijah and Elisha and Peter and Paul had all resurrected back to life through the power of God, all those people had to die again, Jesus rose again for all of eternity. He ain't never going to die again. But some of these people, they mocked. The Epicureans mocked because as far as they were concerned, there is no resurrection of the dead. You're dead, you're dead. End of subject. And there are people out there who say the same thing. There is no heaven. There is no hell. Once you die, you die. It reminds me of those two young men who shot up Columbine all those years ago. Absolutely did not believe one bit about the resurrection. One bit about an eternity waiting for you to enter into it. People do this all the time, church. They've got tomorrow. They've got next week. They've got next year. They've got plans. They've got money. They've got dreams. They've got a job. They've got anything and everything. So they'll mock. But make sure along with all that they've got there, they've also got witness to about Jesus. Aside from the closed minds here at this case, there's also the confused minds. Continue reading verse number 32. "And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." Others said, we couldn't make up our minds. We're confused on the subject here. The Stoics did believe in an afterlife. But the resurrection, that blew their mind. that it was actually possible. Poof. Wow. How? Wow. But, you know, it's getting late. This is interesting. Paul, I gotta go home and make supper. Paul, I'm standing here shaking in my boots, realizing just how terrifying hell is that you're describing. I need to go home and think about it. I've gotta sort things out. And people will do this all the time. Oh yes, I'm saved. Oh yes, I remember praying when I was a child. I went to Sunday school. I did this, I did that. But they don't actually have Jesus in their heart. I was in this denomination. I switched over to this one. I'm saved now. But they ain't got Jesus in their heart. They ain't got their ticket punched for heaven. This is proof here. This verse here, that we will hear thee again of this matter, is proof that that people will do anything and everything to get away from the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Hey, give me a chance. I'll come back and I'll talk to you later. I've got to get going right now. I got to make supper. I got to do this. I got to do that. They're just trying to get away from what's terrifying them at the moment. And eternity can be scary. Until you get saved. And it's, man, I'm looking forward to that. It's coming one day. But people look for any reason to get out from doing it. It confuses them because it's not what they were expecting. It confuses them because it's not what they want to hear. You mean my way to heaven ain't going to work? No. Why won't my way work to get to heaven? I mean, there are many roads to heaven. No, there's only one. That's the crossroad. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And how many people don't get a later at all? The God of this world has blinded people. He's brought confusion and chaos into their lives for the sake of taking as many humans to hell with him as possible. He may have lost you to heaven, but he ain't about to give up anybody else that he doesn't have. There'll be a more convenient season to hear you. Do your best, church, to present the case for Christ, the case for your faith, adequately, so that no one will be able to step off into eternity and say, I was never warned. Because you're also going to get those who are going to hang the jury simply because you're going to convince their minds. Notice with me in verse 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among them the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. There were those who understood what Paul was saying. And they acted upon it. Not by running away, but by saying, Lord Jesus, here am I, a sinner, save me. As they recognized what they were being told was the truth. And when we give them the truth, when we give them God's word, There will be some good results. There will be some fruit born of it, church. Some of the jury will go along. Now, we're given two very specific names here. We don't know anything about them beyond this. We're also told that there were others also with them who believed. So the person you're witnessing to may get saved. There might be someone listening around the corner you had no idea was there, and they heard. Lord, I know that person wasn't witnessing directly to me, but they were witnessing to me, and I want to be saved too. Will you please save me? People we will never know of. We won't remember their names who have gotten saved because we presented our case and we brought it to their jury. But when you get a hung jury, when you are, how would I want to put this? Acquitted, condemned, acquitted of being wrong, condemned that you are correct, that the people agree that Jesus is Lord and Savior, or they refuse to accept what you've got to believe. The case will be continued, and it will be continued every single time, every single day. Until you shuffle off this mortal coil. And you yourself enter eternity. Whether it be by the way of the rapture or by way of the grave. There will be a continued case every single time you draw breath. Notice with me verse 33. So Paul departed from among them. At the moment he was free to go. You witness to somebody, they accept, they reject. You're free to go. You've done your part. If they accept, hey, help train them up. Help get them into a good God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled church so that they can grow. If they reject, keep praying for them. Keep trying to witness to them. Don't give up on them until the Lord says, all right, time for you to just outright move on. Here, Paul was instructed by the Holy Ghost, go ahead and move on. There's nothing further to do here. Next town he goes to is Corinth. Guess what? He spends a year and a half there. And while they were a messed up bunch, Paul was there a year and a half with them versus however, you know, a couple of days here in Athens. Sometimes we're going to spend a lifetime witnessing to somebody to try to see them get saved. Sometimes we're going to spend 5 minutes with them to see them get saved. Sometimes our hopes are going to be dashed and they never do get saved. Sometimes our hopes are realized and they do get saved. Loved one, enemy, stranger, co-worker, in-law, outlaw, doesn't matter. The case continues and it's our job to continue to witness to them. To keep fighting the good fight. Paul wasn't concerned with how man was going to view him. Paul only wanted to be found guilty by his Lord Jesus Christ when he stood there at the judgment seat of Christ. Guilty of serving him. I've got just two questions and a statement in closing this morning for you. Number one, when was the last time our faith was put on trial? Number two, could we sway the jury in favor of our Savior or embarrass Him? And my statement is this, we are not called to win arguments, but we are called to win souls. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity to stand here and bring your word to your people. And I pray, Lord, for your help, please, for all of us, myself included, to do a better job of witnessing for you, to do a better job of showing others the way, how they too can be saved as well. I thank you, Father, for all those who have tuned into the broadcast here, those who will be tuning in on sermon audio, that they will, each and every one, get the help and the strength that they need from you to go and serve you your way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.